Will, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Well, we're trying to figure this this shoulder out for Jose Bautista. This is not supposed to, well, days turns into weeks. I'm hoping by 2017 he'll be in right field again.
Well, he's hoping it's a little sooner than that. But shoulders are really complex. I mean, one of the best shoulder surgeons in the world, Neil Alatrosh, once compared it to trying to put together a puzzle without the box top because there's just so many structures. You know, the elbow is easy. The elbow's a hinge. I'm not that handy, but around the house, I can fix a hinge. A shoulder goes in so many directions. There's muscles, there's tendons, there's capsules, there's ligaments, there's cartilage, there's a labrum. And trying to put it all back together into place is really difficult. If one thing gets torn, you have to try to figure out how it fit in there. If something gets inflamed, it's going to squeeze something else. It's going to push something out of place. So not only do you have to get rid of the symptoms, you have to find the root cause. Otherwise, you're going to be doing it again. And that's why this has been so difficult for the Jays medical staff to try to help Jose Bautista. We know what the root cause, at least the causation, was. But can they get everything back into the right place, calm everything down without shutting him down? That's the really difficult part.
We're learning all kinds of new words today, Will. You'd be happy for us. These are words you already know. But impingement and constriction. These things happen in the shoulder. They're things. These are words.
Yeah, absolutely. But they're very simple concepts. You know, impingement just means, you know, things are supposed to go in certain places. You know, blood vessels, nerves, muscles, tendons, they're all supposed to go in certain places. And you know, no shoulder is exactly the same. But impingement just, it basically means the pipes are clogged a little bit. Something has swollen and moved that pipe shut a little bit. So things, you know, whether it's muscle, whether it's nerve, it gets impinged. Same thing with constriction. That just means a muscle or tendon or ligament is not allowed to move in its normal pattern. So everything comes down to something swollen, something's pushing something else. That's why everything is so interrelated and why the shoulder is so difficult.
And I guess then the question becomes, when you have a cortisone shot, A, exactly what are you doing, and what can we expect timeline-wise as a result of the cortisone shot?
Well, cortisone shot is potentially two, maybe three different things. You know, first, cortisone has become something of a generic term. Sometimes they don't use cortisone because cortisone is very acidic. And especially after Ryan Howard's Achilles injury a couple of years ago, some teams have gotten a little bit shy of using actual cortisone. They'll use some other form of anti-inflammatory. Basically, there are two things in virtually every cortisone shot. Let's just assume they're actually using cortisone. The first is a quick-acting painkiller, lidocaine, xylocaine, one of those canes. So there's immediate relief to that area because you're putting a painkiller right there. Second is that the cortisone or whatever anti-inflammatory they're using is hopefully going to get everything to stop being inflamed. Literally that simple. And if things shrink back to the normal place, if you calm things down, then hopefully everything goes back to the right place. The impingement, the constriction, all stops. Not always that simple, but sometimes it is. There's going to be other treatments going on. They're going to use heat. They're going to use ice. They're going to use pretty much everything at their disposal to help their guy get his shoulder back where it needs to be. The problem is we've got to wait to see if the body heals in just the right way and whether they can keep him from doing anything that's going to get it back to inflamed.
So north of the border here, we have obviously hockey is a big thing on the radar. Mm-hmm. The playoffs are on now. This is the time of year that hockey players say, broken bone, I can't feel a thing. Let's get back on the ice. And I think that mentality carries over to other sports. So while you have some macho dude saying, oh, Jose's being a big wimp. I mean, come on. This guy was playing with a separated shoulder in the playoff.
Yeah.
This is a different thing because even DHing is going to aggravate it even slightly, which might not let the swelling go away, right?
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, are they able to let him do anything? You know, a lot of times one of the first things that the medical staff will do, doctor, athletic trainer, whoever, is limit the motion because they want to hold it as steady as possible. We see somebody hurts their arm, you put them in a sling. You hurt your knee, you put them in an immobilizer. So is any motion causing problems there. We can't visualize it. You can't see where all those tendons and ligaments are moving inside. You have to kind of watch and guess and hope and see how the player reacts, because the player is going to have the best signal. Unfortunately, it's going to be pain and inflammation.
How common is this kind of injury? And when a team comes out with a timeline or says, well, we don't know, but a couple of days, is that something that maybe they shouldn't do, given how mysterious the shoulder can be, or is it typically easy to diagnose whether it's serious or not?
It's relatively easy to diagnose because we're seeing the symptoms. You know, what we're seeing and what they're telling us and what they're treating are all the symptoms. What was the root cause? Well, with Bautista, that one was fairly easy. We all know about the throw. He overthrew. He was a little angry and just overdid it. And what can we do to get him back to his pre-injury status? That's the tough part. Normally, we don't know, especially with a chronic or injury. Yeah, if you see somebody roll their ankle or hit their head on the floor, you know what happened, and you know, well, we need to stop that from happening. With something like a pitcher's elbow or a shoulder injury that happens over a period of time where they're wearing it down and wearing it down and they're fatigued and wearing it down, those are tougher because it's hard to see the root cause. With Bautista, yeah, they're trying to do one of the toughest things, which is get everything back to normal while he's still active, and that's awful tough to do.
Hasn't played the field since April 21st. We're chatting with Will Carroll at Injury Expert on Twitter. What did you make of Steph Curry hitting the hard court head first last night?
Certainly, you don't want to do that. The biggest issue that I had was not with what the Warriors and their medical staff did. Really good medical staff, top-notch doctors. They did appear to do everything by the book. The NBA has a concussion policy. They appeared to follow it. They got him off the court. They got him to a quiet place. They did the testing. They had him show some activity before putting him back out there. And then they said, you know what? He put him back out there. We didn't see any – certainly we saw him hit his head. So that doesn't mean there was a concussion. It means there's suspicion of possible concussion. And at that stage, get him out of there and test him. That's what you want to see every single time in every single sport, especially at youth level. So that, I think, was handled appropriately. I think the bigger problem is that it's the perception that the NBA hasn't done a very good job of telling us why they have this and that there is a concussion protocol. I wish they had somebody there. I wish they would let their athletic trainers and doctors tell what happened, because I think instead of hiding behind this wall of, well, it's medical information, there's a great story there. Same thing with baseball. Why won't they let the doctors and trainers talk about Jose Bautista? We're talking about it. I think getting that information out there would be a better story and certainly help educate people about it and with concussions, especially in basketball, where they haven't been discussed nearly as much as in football. They are a serious one. Here in America, the sport with the highest concussion rate is girls basketball. Of all the sports, girls basketball. So this is a serious thing. I think they treated it appropriately, and we'll have to see how Curry comes back from it.